الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الذين كفروا ربنا أرنا الذين أضلانا من الجن والإنس نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا ليكونا من الأسفلين إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته وقال الذين كفروا those who commit kufr disbelief will say ربنا أو our رب أرنا الذين أضلانا من الجن والإنس show us the two groups from the jinn and humankind who misled us نجعلهما تحت أقدامنا we want to trample them beneath our feet ليكونا من الأسفلين so that they become of those who are most humiliated. When the disbelievers will be entered into Jahannam and they will begin to be punished in the hellfire, there will be some individuals who in the world used to be leaders. They used to have a status, a rank, authority over others. So they would encourage those who would follow them to disbelieve and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means that the second group are those that used to listen to these people. So these individuals who used to listen to their elders, to their leaders, when they will see that we are today in Jahannam and we are being punished in Jahannam because we listen to these people. If we had not listened to them when they invited us towards wrong, then today we would not have been in Jahannam. So we find in another place in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding them that they will complain to Allah and they will say to Allah that inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana fa'adalluna sabila. They will say that, O Allah, we obeyed our leaders, our seniors, our elders. And by obeying them, they led us astray. So, رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ دِئْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. O our Rabb, you give them double punishment. وَالْعَنْهُمْ لَعْنًا كَبِيرًا, and curse them greatly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply will be, لِكُلِّنْ دِئْفٌ. That here in Jahannam, punishment, forget one punishment or double punishment or triple punishment, the punishment is just going to continue to increase and increase and increase for all of you. Whether you are the seniors, whether you are the juniors, whether you followed or whether you are those who used to make others do wrong. Punishment for everyone is going to continue to increase. So upon this, the disbelievers, these juniors, those who used to listen to others, they will become more angry and they will say what we find in the next verse here now. They will say, رَبَّنَا أَرِنَا الَّذَيْنِ أَضَلَّانَا. O our Rabb, show us the two groups, مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ, from the jinn and the humankind who misled us. نَجْعَلْهُمَا تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِنَا. We want to trample them beneath our feet. لِيَكُونَا مِنَ الْأَسْفَلِينَ, so that they become of those who are the most humiliated. So they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we want to see those who misled us from the jinn as well as from the humankind. Because as far as the shayateen are concerned, the shaytan, Iblis, and thereafter with Iblis, Iblis has an entire army. So there's not only one shaytan. As was explained last week also, that with every person there is a shaytan. And this shaytan injects evil thoughts in a person when a person is neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah, at that time shaitan cannot inject any evil thought. So if a person wants to save himself from the evil thoughts of shaitan, he has to work on the remembrance of Allah in such a way that at all times he is remembering Allah ta'ala. So you have one army of shayateen who are the shayateenul jinn. They are the shaitans in the jinn form. We cannot see them. But they are with us. They are the one who inject evil thoughts. A person is sat alone at home and he feels like doing something wrong. So this thought is coming in his mind from this shaitan which is with him, which he cannot see. But together with the shayateenul jinn, you also have shayateenul ins, shayateen in the human form. And this is whenever any person, they encourage you or they invite you towards the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. You receive a message that today 10 p.m. let's go to the cinema to watch a movie. So this is a shaitan in human form. Whether you like it or not, he is shaitan. This, whether you want to call him your friend, he's not your friend. Why? Because on the day of Qiyamah, you will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. If only I did not befriend so and so. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Because he is the one who led me astray. So shaitan in human form and shaitan in jinn form. In Surah An-Nas, Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. That shaitan whispers in the hearts of the people. Which shaitan? Min al jinnati wan nas. The shayateen in jinn form as well as the shayateen in human form. So there are two types of shaitans throughout our life. When we are receiving bad thoughts, this is the shaitan in the jinn form. And if a human tells us to do something, encourages us to do something, this is a shaitan in human form. So in Jahannam, when we will think to ourselves that that sin I committed, it was because of him. I was going towards the masjid and he messaged me that let's go here. And I changed my direction. My intention was to do something good and because of him I did something wrong. Every Saturday he would message me that let's go and do this wrong. So in Jahannam you will get all the flashbacks. Everything will be in front of you. So now you will want to take revenge. So you will say, Rabbana arina alladhaini adallana minal jinni wal ins. Oh our Rabb, show us those jinn also and those humans also who led us astray. Now they will also be in Jahannam. The jinn will also be in Jahannam and the humans will also be in Jahannam. But why will these people say, show us? Because as far as the jinn shayateen are concerned, we could not see them in the world, so we don't know which jinn shayateen led us astray. So if all the jinn shayateen are in front of you in Jahannam, you don't know which one led you astray. So you are saying to Allah that, oh Allah, show me which one was it. And as far as the human form shayateen are concerned, those humans who led us astray, they will also be in Jahannam, but they will be in another part of Jahannam. So you will say to Allah, oh Allah, show us those people, bring them here. So this is the more general tafsir of this verse. And there is also a more specific tafsir, which is that arina ladaini adallana, oh Allah, show us those two. Show us those two from the jinn and from the human. So one tafsir here is that alladhaini, the two, refers to the two groups. The devils in the jinn form and the devils in the human form. And a second tafsir is that show us the two means one from the jinn and one from the humans. The one from the jinn is the Iblis, who is the leader of the shayateen. Because he is the original shaitan and devil, due to whom each person thereafter is misled and commits sins and disobeys Allah. And as far as from the humans is concerned, it refers to the son of Adam alayhi salam, whose name is Qabil, who is the first person to commit murder on the face of this earth. He killed his own brother, Habil. The commentary of which is under the verses of Watlu alayhim naba abnai Adam bil haqq. Allah Ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that recite upon them the incident of the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. So the summary of that is that when Adam alayhi salatu wassalam and Hawa alayhi salam came into this world, then they were the very first human beings. Now, humanity needed to spread across the earth. And the only way for humans to come in the world is that there is marriage between a male and a female, and thereafter they have children and then they get married. But these were the very first people. So what would happen is, Adam alayhi salatu wassalam and Hawa alayhi salam, when they would have children, they would have twins. So they would have one pair of twins where there would be one male and one female, one boy and one girl. Thereafter, they would have another pair of twins. So another boy and girl. And the rule was that this boy and girl who were born together, they are not allowed to marry one another. And this boy and girl who are married, who are born together, they are not allowed to marry one another. Just as now, a brother and sister cannot marry one another. Now, over there, they were all brothers and sisters. But somebody had to marry somebody. So in order to start off the generation and the humanity, this was the rule. That the two who are born together cannot marry one another. Because they are more closer to being brother and sister in comparison to this and this pair. So, Qabil was supposed to marry that girl who was born with Habil. And Habil was supposed to marry that girl who was born with Qabil. But Qabil, when he saw that he has to marry this girl who was born with Habil, he was more attracted towards the girl that was born with him, his sister. So as a result, he murdered his own brother. So he committed the first sin of murder. And regarding this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith that whenever a person kills another individual in an oppressive manner, so one is that you kill somebody in a legitimate manner, that you're in war. So in war, obviously, when you kill the enemy, this is allowed, this is permissible. But in an oppressive manner, whenever a person kills another individual, then you will also be sinful, but that sin will also go into the account of Qabil, who was the first person to commit murder. So now, until the day of Qiyamah, whenever murder is committed, Qabil will also receive a share of that adab and punishment. And the lesson from here is that we should be very careful as to what wrongs we do in our lives. Because if we introduce a wrong amongst our friends or amongst our family, something which was not common, and suddenly we start doing something and now everyone starts following, then all of that punishment will also come into our records. And on the other side, if we do something good, and our friends or our family members, they also start copying us, and they also start bringing it into their lives, then they will also be rewarded, but we will also gain all of that reward. So there are two commentaries here of أَضَلَّانَا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. The more general meaning is that those jinn and those human shayateen who used to lead us astray, oh Allah, show us them. And a more specific commentary is that the jinn refers to Iblis and the human refers to the son of Adam alayhi salam, Qabil. So they will request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that show us these people, and the reason why we want to see them is so that naj'alhuma tahta aqdamina, we want to trample them beneath our feet, liyakuna minal asfalin, so that they become of those who are the most humiliated amongst the lowest. Hakim ul-Ummat Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that after studying the Quran as well as the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is no mention with regards to the result of this request anywhere, as to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do after these people will request this. But one thing is for sure, that both parties will be punished. It's not that in Jahannam, if you say that because so and so used to call me towards the disobedience, oh Allah, punish him and leave me alone. This is not going to happen. Why? Because each person disobeys Allah and sins due to his own wish and his own desire, and he has the ability to either sin or refrain from sin. As far as others are concerned, whether it's the shayateen from the jinn or the shayateen from the humans, the most they can do is encourage a person, invite a person towards sin, They do not have authority. Nobody will pull you and grab you and make you commit the sin. Nobody will put a gun to your head and say, commit a sin. Otherwise, in such circumstances, it will be permissible for a person to commit that sin to save his life. So normally what happens is somebody will encourage you. They will invite you. Tomorrow I'm going here, you come with me also. Now it's up to you to either accept that invitation or reject it. This is why even Shaitan, when the people will be entered into Jahannam, what will he say to them? That Inna Allaha wa'adakum wa'adal haqqi wa wa'adtukum fa akhlaftukum. That Allah Ta'ala also promised you and I used to also promise you. In the world, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala promised you that if you do good, then for you will be Jannah. And I used to give you false promises in the world. That commit this sin, you'll have lots of fun, it'll be very enjoyable. And thereafter Shaitan will say that وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَن دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. That I had no authority over you when I used to invite you towards the sins. So I never used to make you commit the sins. All I used to do is inject the evil thought into you. But after that, it was fully up to you whether you accept my invitation or reject it. So, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not lament me, lament yourselves. So both parties, whether they were the juniors or whether they were the seniors, whether they were those who used to invite towards sin or whether they were those who used to accept the invitation, they will all be punished in Jahannam. In some books regarding these two verses which I mentioned, there is a humorous incident which took place. And that is that there was an imam who used to lead salah in a certain masjid, and those that were in charge of that masjid, they once came up to him and said to him that we do not want you to recite more than one verse in each rakat. So the masnoon and the sunnah method is that minimum a person has to recite either three small verses or one large verse. This is the minimum qira'ah which is necessary. But besides this, there is a sunnah method that, for example, in Fajr Salah, you have to recite from Suratul Tahrim, Suratul Hujurat, from Suratul Hujurat until Suratul Buruj, or just before Suratul Buruj, Suratul Inshiqaq. So this is the sunnah method in the Fajr Salah. Likewise, in the Maghrib Salah is sunnah to recite from Suratul Bayyinah to Suratul Nas. And in Isha Salah is sunnah to recite from Suratul Buruj to Suratul Qadr. This is why you see that usually in the Fajr, Maghrib, Isha Salah, the Imams will recite from these surahs. Likewise, in the Fajr on the day of Friday is sunnah to recite Suratul Sajda in the first rakat and Suratul Dahr in the second rakat. And in Jumu'ah and the two Salatul Eid is sunnah to recite Suratul A'la and Suratul Ghashiyah, or Suratul Jumu'ah and Suratul Munafiqun. So anyway, these are sunnah methods, and thereafter there are other surahs which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, which we find in various ahadith. For example, the Sahaba say that once they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite from Suratul Mursalat. And likewise, they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite from Suratul Tur in the Maghrib Salah also. So these are the sunnah methods of reciting in salah. So the imam would recite in accordance to these sunnah methods. So those who were in charge of the masjid said to him that we do not want you to recite this amount in the salah. All we want is that you recite one ayah in the first rakat and one ayah in the second rakat. Now he had to oblige, so he begins his salah, and after Suratul Fatiha in the first rakat he recites this first ayah. That inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana fa'adalluna as-sabila. That we have obeyed our leaders and our seniors and they have led us astray. And in the second rakat he recited the next verse, that rabbana atihim di'fayni minal azab wal anhum la'nan kabira. That, O our Rabb, give them double punishment and send upon them a great amount of curse. So after namaz, they said to the imam that from the next salah you can recite whatever you want. So sometimes you have to deal in this way when you are an imam. Anyway, we move on to the next verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. So until here, the commentators of the Quran mentioned that until here, the first 29 verses of Surah Hamim al-Sajda were regarding the disbelievers and the mushrikeen and those who disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. Now from the next verse, Allah Ta'ala now turns his attention towards the mu'mineen and the believers and the obedient servants of Allah. So إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Indeed, those, verily those who say, our Rabb is Allah, and are then steadfast. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma mentions, نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي أَبِي بَكْرَ الصِّدِّيقِ radiyallahu anhu. This verse was originally revealed regarding Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the incident behind it is that the mushrikeen, those who would ascribe partners with Allah, they would say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, our Rabb is Allah. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَنَاتُهُ. And the angels are his daughters. وَهَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا إِنَّ اللَّهِ. And these idols, they will be a means of our intercession in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So they began by saying, our Rabb is Allah. But thereafter, they didn't remain steadfast upon this. After saying, our Rabb is Allah, they further said, the angels are his daughters, and these idols will intercede on our behalf on the day of Qiyamah. So, فَلَمْ يَسْتَقِيمُوا. They did not carry out istiqamah. They were not steadfast. And as far as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is concerned, he said, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, our Rabb is Allah. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Our Rabb is Allah alone. There is no one who we ascribe partners with him. وَمُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his rasul, his prophet. Hence, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was steadfast upon his claim that our Rabb is Allah. So anyway, as far as we are concerned, this verse is very important. That after saying Rabbun Allah, meaning after bringing Iman, the next part is ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that a person remains steadfast upon the Iman. And what this means is that a person then practices upon the entire deen. Just saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, just accepting and believing in Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and becoming a Muslim, this is not sufficient. After this, now a person needs to continue carrying out the do's and refraining from the don'ts. He needs to obey Allah and refrain from disobeying Allah. And this steadfastness needs to continue until a person breathes his last. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا means, لَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. That after saying, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, our Rabb is Allah, a person, he does not ascribe any partners with Allah Ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that it means that a person, he remains steadfast. Meaning he remains steadfast upon the path which has been showed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the path of obedience. And he does not look left or right like the foxes. So when a fox is walking, a fox usually looks around in different directions. So a mu'min and a believer should know what the straight path is. And after knowing what the straight path is, he should not look left and right, that what are they doing and what are they doing. Like is common, that usually this is the nature of a human. That even after being given the best method and the best way and the best way of life, we are prone to looking at other ideologies and other ways of life. And very quickly we become inclined towards other people's ways of life. And we start doing what others are doing. The way others dress, that becomes appealing to us. So we think to ourselves that our dress, until now we've been dressing in this way, but this type of dress is more appealing. Let's try this out. In our weddings, let's try out what they are doing. In our functions, let's try out what they are doing. So in everything, in every aspect of life, you will see that the Muslims, instead of sticking to that one path which was shown to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we go left and right and we try out what other people are doing. This is not istiqamah. Istiqamah is you say, Rabbun Allah, our Rabb is Allah. Now when our Rabb is Allah, we are only going to do that which Allah has told us to do in every aspect of our life. And this is something which is very difficult. But just because it's very difficult, that doesn't mean it's impossible. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never command us to do something which is impossible. So it's possible, but it's difficult. And it's when a person carries out the thing which is difficult, that's when he will gain something which is great. The reward is great, which is mentioned in the next part of this verse. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا means that after they say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, our Rabb is Allah, thereafter they carry out all their actions with ikhlas, with sincerity. So sincerely, for Allah Ta'ala, they do good deeds. And Ali radiallahu anhu says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا means, ثُمَّ أَدُّوا الْفَرَائِضِ, that thereafter they carry out all the compulsory acts and refrain from all those acts from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to refrain from. Fudayl ibn Ayyaz rahimahullahu ta'ala says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا means that a person, he creates the quality of abstinence from all those things which are going to come to an end. Meaning all worldly pleasures, worldly items. So again, as humans, we have an inclination towards these worldly things. We have inclination towards money. We have inclination towards a nice house. We have inclination towards a nice car. We have inclination towards nice clothing. But these are all things which are going to come to an end. So a person has to work on himself until he reaches a stage where he stops feeling inclined towards these things. And how will he stop feeling inclined towards this? When he feels inclined towards something else. When you feel inclined towards something else, then you will stop feeling inclined towards this. So what do you have to feel inclined towards? You have to feel inclined towards those things which are going to remain forever and ever. Meaning, the bounties and favors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us in Jannah and Paradise. So when a person will have this in his mind, that I want to work towards those blessings and those bounties and those favors which Allah ta'ala has kept for me in Jannah, then he will have no time to try and exert effort in earning these paltry and materialistic items of this world. So this is the meaning of ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when the world would be put at his feet, he would not feel inclined towards it. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam once mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these two mountains, the space between them, I can turn them all into gold for you right now. And you can benefit from all of this gold. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. That one day I want to remain hungry so that I can be patient, and the other day I want to eat so that I can be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. This is sufficient for me. Now imagine if Jibreel alayhi salam descended now and said to us, this whole room I'll turn it into gold for you. Our inclination is to, we'll definitely say we want it. This is what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say, that during our lifetime, she said it to her nephew Urwa bin Zubair rahimahullahu ta'ala, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, that during our lifetime, we would see one crescent, then we would see the second crescent, then we would see the third crescent. In other words, two entire Islamic months would pass. The two entire months would pass. And in these 2 months, the stove would not burn. The cooker would not on. In any of the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're not talking about just one house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had multiple wives. So in all of the houses, this was the condition of poverty, that for 2 entire months the cooker would not on. The cooker would not on does not mean that we'd get takeaway for 2 months, that's why. Or because the women would say, we're not cooking for 2 months. No, it means that they never had nothing to cook. So Urwa bin Zubair said, well, if there was nothing to cook for 2 months, how did you people live? So Aisha radiallahu anha replies, bi aswadain, the two black things, the date and water. This is called aswadain. So they remained on dates and water for 2 entire months. And this would happen occasionally, not just once, many a times. So look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wives lived in the world in this manner. But that doesn't mean that we say that they were unsuccessful people. Rather, it is our belief they were the most successful. This shows that success does not mean that person who has a lot of money or a nice house or a nice car or nice clothing. No, success is that person who lives his life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also a meaning of ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ mentioned by Fudail bin Ayyad rahimahullahu ta'ala. And Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions that it means that a person's actions are in accordance to what he says. So sometimes a person speaks good things, but his life is completely contrary to this. So his actions and his speech should both be in conformity. This is another meaning of ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. And the Mufassir of Tafsir al-Kashshaf, Allama Zamakhshari rahmatullahi alayhi, has mentioned that in here there is an indication. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, that those people who say our Rabb is Allah. So we say رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, we say our Rabb is Allah. Now Rabb, what does Rabb mean? Rabb is that being who nurtures something or someone right from its inception and takes it all the way until it reaches its pinnacle and its peak. Like a parent can also be the Rabb of the child in the way that right from its inception, the parent nurtures the child until the child reaches that stage where it's able to stand up on its feet, eat its own food, and even further thereafter goes to school, college, university, is able to work, marries. The parents look after the child all the way and fulfill all of it, the responsibilities. But the true Rabb, there's only one true Rabb, that's Allah Ta'ala. That from the moment our parents conceived us, our mother conceived us, from that moment until now and until we will breathe our last, every single need of ours is being fulfilled by only one being, and that is Allah Ta'ala. Even right now, if Allah Ta'ala decides to turn His face away from us, we will not be able to breathe. The next breath we will not be able to take. The next morsel we will not be able to eat. We will not be able to move our limbs, our body parts. We won't be able to do anything. So Allah Ta'ala is making us do all of these things. He is taking care of everything. So He is our Rabb. Now when He is our Rabb and He is taking care of all of our needs, then the requirement of this is ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, that you then obey this person. You obey this being. If someone who's doing everything for you, how can you disobey? So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that indeed those who say رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, our Rabb is Allah. This is an indication towards iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, thereafter they live their entire life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, angels will descend. Angels will descend. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, angels will descend. And what will these angels say when they descend? They will say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. They will say that do not fear and do not grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ, and rejoice about the Jannah that you have been promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, we are your friends in the life of this world as well as in the akhirah, in the hereafter. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ, there in Jannah you shall have whatever your heart desires. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, and you shall have whatever you ask for. نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ, this is the hospitality from the most forgiving, the most merciful. First of all, when will the angels descend? So we are talking about the believers, those who have brought iman. After bringing iman, they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says angels will descend. So angels will descend. Imam Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah rahimahullahu ta'ala says angels will descend on three occasions. Number one, عند الموت, at the time of death. So at the time of death, this will be a very crucial moment. A person is leaving this world, going into the hereafter. And at that time, it will be necessary that his iman remains intact. Because this is the final moment shaitan will now have, his final chance to take this iman away from us. And this is his whole mission. His mission is that he tries to take as many people into Jahannam as he can. So right from the moment we are born, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that besides the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, the prophets are free from this. But besides the prophets, every other human, when he is born, then shaitan, he pokes this baby when the baby comes into the world. This is why when the baby comes in the world, it comes into the world crying. So the reason the baby comes into the world crying is because shaitan pokes the baby. And by poking the baby, shaitan is indicating to this child that the war between me and you has now begun. Now until you die, all I'm going to do is try to make you do as many wrong things as I possibly can. So straight away, the Sharia tells us that take the child into your hands and in the right ear, call out the adhan. And say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. So straight away, the first thing the baby now hears is that the greatest being is Allah Ta'ala. So this shaitan cannot harm me if Allah is with me. So I need to believe in this Allah and I need to have this firm conviction that this Allah is now going to look after me throughout my entire life. This is the tarbiyah and the nurturing of the child which is beginning as soon as the child comes into the world. And thereafter, after saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we place tawheed into the mind of the child. That there is only one deity who is worthy of worship, this is Allah. Thereafter, Risalat and Prophethood, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah. And thereafter we say Hayya ala Salah. And Salah is the most important from all those acts which we need to carry out in our life. So Salah here is a title. So we are saying to the child that now in the world you are going to carry out all those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do. And if you will do all those things which Allah ta'ala has told you to do, then Hayya ala al-Falah, come to success. Success lies in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So adhan in the right ear and iqama in the left ear. This is how the child comes into the world. So shaitan, he pokes the child when the child comes into the world. So anyway, the first time when the angels... So I was saying that shaitan throughout a person's life, right from the moment he is born until he breathes his last, he is trying to make us lose this gift of iman which we have. Now at the time of death, this is his final chance now. If he cannot snatch this iman away from us at the time of death, then he's failed. This is why at the time of death, he tries very hard to try and take this iman away from us. But the more good deeds we carry out throughout our life, the more stronger our iman becomes and the more difficult it will be for shaitan to snatch this iman away from us. It's just like a tree. It's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'batan. Iman is more than 70 branches. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the example of iman and the similarity between iman and a tree. When you have a tree, the more branches you have, the more the roots are spread out. So if you have just two branches, you'll probably have just two roots at the bottom. So it'll be very easy to uproot this tree. But if you have many branches, the roots will be spread out so far under the ground that it will be almost impossible to uproot this tree. So iman is more than 70 branches. Meaning that there are many, many different good deeds that a person can carry out. All these different good deeds are different branches on our tree of Iman. We have said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, this is our trunk. But after this, it's up to us now how many good deeds we do. And then upon every branch, you can have more leaves, you can have fruit, you can have flowers. It's up to us depending upon the mustahabbat we carry out, the nawafil we carry out. Okay, so first of all, you have the fara'id, which are the branches, and the wajibat. But on these branches, you can bring the leaves and the flowers and the fruit of the sunan, the mustahabbat, the nawafil, the adab. The more you do, the more powerful, the more stronger this tree is, which means that at the time of death, it will be impossible for shaitan to uproot this tree of iman. And if a person just recites the kalima and thereafter he does no good deeds at all, then this tree will be very easy to uproot at the time of death. So this will continue until the time of death. This is why when, if I can recall correctly, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was in his final moments, then what was he saying to his, he was saying, not now, not now. So his son thought that he was saying not now to the angel of death. So he said to him that you have lived your whole life in teaching us that as believers we should want to go into the hereafter and meet Allah Ta'ala. Jannah is awaiting us. There is nothing for us in this world. And now when the angel of death has come, you are saying not now, not now. The Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi replied, I am not saying not now to the angel of death. I am saying not now to shaitan who is here. You cannot see him, but he is here. And shaitan is saying to me that, oh Ahmad, you have succeeded. I tried my whole life to try and deviate you from the straight path, but I was unable to. So you have succeeded. You've won the battle. So Imam Ahmad said, not yet, not yet. Meaning that there's still a few seconds. The soul has not been extracted yet. So even in these final moments, you're so cunning that if you won, you could make me say something due to which I could lose my iman. So look, these people knew that until the final moments, we have to be careful. This is why Umm Salama radiallahu anha says that the dua which I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make the most in my house was, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. That, O Allah, the one who turns the hearts, keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. Keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. So the meaning of this is, Umm Salama radiallahu anha says that I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that why do I hear you making this dua so much? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, you know, these hearts, they are in between the fingers of Rahman. So Allah Ta'ala does not have fingers, but to explain to us that when you have something between your two fingers, then it's in your full control. Like you have a penny coin. You can turn it on heads, you can turn it on tails. How long does it take? No effort whatsoever. Heads, tails. So in the same way, Allah Ta'ala can turn our hearts in an instant. That right now you're on Iman, but within a second, if Allah Ta'ala wishes and He just turns your heart, you will be on kufr. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when this is the condition, I fear and I say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O the turner of the hearts, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. Let it not be that I do something or say something due to which I am led astray and I lose this iman. So this is istiqamah, this is steadfastness. So the first time when the angels will descend will be at the time of death. So at the time of death, these angels will descend and they will say, Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Do not fear and do not grieve. So just imagine at the time of death, when you will be in need of this, the time of death, which is a very fearful moment. So at that time, the angels will descend. If you had lived your life in accordance with the pleasure of Allah, and they will say to you that do not fear and do not grieve. So do not fear, meaning do not fear death. These next stages, obviously, it'll be something fearful because we don't know what to expect. So the angels will come down and they will console us that everything is going to be okay. Do not fear death. And wala tahzanu, do not grieve. So usually fear is connected to something which is going to happen in front of us, in the future. And grief is something with regards to the past or something we are leaving behind. This is why the commentators say, wala tahzanu ala awladikum فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلِيفَتَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. That do not grieve with regards to your children who you are leaving behind. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is going to take care of them. So as far as what's going to come ahead in the hereafter, do not fear. And as far as what you are leaving behind in the world, meaning your children, your family, don't grieve regarding them also. Allah Ta'ala is going to take care of them also. So just imagine when you hear this, how easy it will be for you to now leave the world. So Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. And Ata bin Abi Rabah rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, mentions that la takhafu here means la takhafu radda thawabikum fa innahu maqbul. That do not fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reject your good deeds. So one fear that a person will have, that all the good deeds which I did during my lifetime, are they even going to be accepted in the court of Allah? If they are not accepted, if Allah Ta'ala says that you performed all these good deeds but I'm not going to accept them, either you did them wrong or you did them to show other people. So what's the point of those good deeds? So a person will have this fear that will my actions be accepted? So the angels are saying, لا تخافوا, don't fear. Meaning don't fear that your actions are going to be rejected. No, they are not going to be rejected, they are going to be accepted. And ولا تحزنوا, do not grieve upon your sins. The sins that you have committed. This will be the grief that a person will leave the world with. That I've committed all these sins. How am I going to face Allah? So he will be told, وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not grieve upon your sins. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive them. He has already forgiven your sins. So again, when a person leaves with this in his mind, that my a'mal and good deeds have been accepted by Allah, and my sins have been forgiven, now he will be able to leave this world very easily. Now, tuhfatul mu'min al-maut. Now, for this believer, this death will be a gift. This will be a gift. Why? Because now he is going into Jannah. Now he is being told, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. Oh, the tranquil soul. Irji'i ila rabbik. Return to your Rabb. Radiyatan mardiyya. In a state that you are also happy and Allah is also happy. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Enter into my servants. Wadkhuli jannati, and enter into my Jannah. He will leave the world hearing these words. When Rabia Basriya rahimahullahu ta'ala was in her final moments, then Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi wanted to visit her. They were both the great sages and the great pious individuals of the time. So from behind the veil, he went to visit her. And he asked her that, do you have any final wish? So upon this, Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha replied that, I do have one desire, and this one desire is that I want to eat some grapes before I leave the world. And the reason why I want to eat grapes is that on one occasion, whilst I was performing salah, the thought of eating grapes came into my mind. So because this thought came into my mind, I told my nafs that because you are desiring grapes whilst you are in salah, then from today I am never going to let you eat grapes again. This is how these people used to train themselves. This is a completely different field which you and I are not acquainted with. This is why we do not know how to practice upon the deen. Practicing upon the deen, it requires training. Just as a person, if he wants to go to the gym, he needs a personal trainer. He needs somebody who can show him how to use the machines. Somebody who can show him how to physically increase his progress. So in the same way, when it comes to deen, you need a personal trainer, somebody who can train you. Because shaitan and nafs are always with us. So these people, they had reached a completely different stage when it came to practicing upon the deen. So they would always keep a very stern eye upon themselves, that what is it that is taking me away from practicing upon the deen. So look, she straight away knew that this thought is coming in salah, which means that this is something which is becoming a hindrance between me and the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That there will be so many things in our lives. There may be hobbies, there may be things that we enjoy doing. But those things are becoming a hindrance in our life, that because of that we end up missing our salah. Because of that, we end up doing something wrong. But we never think to ourselves that because this particular, for example, simple example, that a young boy, he likes to play football. But he goes to play football between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. and in the winter, that time is Asr Salah and Maghrib Salah, and he misses his Asr and Maghrib Salah. Now, either he should change his time or he should think to himself that for me, this football is becoming a means of me disobeying Allah Ta'ala. But we won't think like this. And these people, even those things which are permissible, the thought of grapes coming into your mind in Salah was not something so bad. But they didn't even let a small thought like this become a hindrance between them and obeying Allah Ta'ala. So she punished herself and she said that from now I'm not going to let you eat grapes anymore because this thought came into your mind in Salah. So she said to Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi that for many years I haven't eaten grapes. So now the thought's coming in my mind that I want to eat grapes before I leave the world. Now it wasn't the season of grapes. When a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of all of their needs. This is the conviction that a person has to have, a mu'min has to have. If we have this conviction that if I obey Allah, Allah ta'ala will take care of me, then Allah ta'ala will definitely take care of all of your needs. So Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi thought that it's not the season of grapes, it's impossible to find grapes here. It wasn't like our time that we have exports from other countries. They would live in their own villages, whatever they had there, that's what they had. So he thought, it's not a season of grapes, but because she's a pious individual, it's possible Allah Ta'ala will provide. Let me go outside and see. He goes outside, leaves the house, and he sees that a bird is flying towards him, comes down and drops a big bunch of grapes. Grapes that he has never seen before. So he presents it before her. He presents it before her. Now, if it was you and I straight away, look at me. How pious that I asked for grapes and straight away grapes has come. It's not even the season of grapes. But look at the true piety. This is what you call piety. She's in her final moments, but the consciousness that she has. And she's wanted to eat grapes for so long, but the first question she asks is, where are these grapes from? And so Masih says, I don't know. A bird came and dropped the grapes. It's not halal for me. How can I eat these grapes? It could be from somebody else's tree. And that tree, I don't have the permission of the owner of that garden. And she didn't eat the grapes. So this is what you call taqwa. This is what you call istiqama and steadfastness. Until the final moments, they remain steadfast upon the deen. So at the time of death, angels will descend at the time of death. This is one time when the angels will descend. And the second time they will descend will be in the grave. So in the grave, after we are buried inside the grave, then the angels will descend. And number three, in the grave, because in the grave, again, this will be a moment of fear. The grave, which is dark, the grave, again, which will be something completely different. Now, if a person had disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, it will be a pit from the pits of Jahannam. But if a person obeyed Allah Ta'ala, it'll be a garden from the gardens of paradise. And Munkar and Nakir will come and they will question us. So at that time also, these angels will come and they will give us glad tidings. And they will make us feel comfortable in the grave. They will make us feel comfortable in the grave. And just as Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha, in her final moments, we see that at the time of death, how she remained steadfast and how the barakat and the blessings of the angels descending had an effect. We also learned from that incident is that after she said she doesn't want to eat the grapes, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi left the house, and just as he left the house, he heard from the heavens this sound that Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. So in the same way, we find regarding Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that how he was assisted in the grave. That in the grave, when the two angels came and questioned him, that Mar Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? And Ma Deenuka, what is your religion? And Ma Taqulu an Hadar Rajul, what do you say regarding this man? Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the three questions we will be asked in the grave. So when Umar radiallahu anhu was asked that, who is your Rabb? And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not say the answer Allah, rather he said Allahu Rabbuna wa man Rabbukuma. Allah is my Rabb, can you tell me who is your Rabb? He questioned them. And thereafter when they asked him, what is your deen? He said, Islam is my religion. What, tell me what is your religion? And this in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell me who this person is. So these angels went back to Allah ta'ala and they said that, oh Allah, did you send us to someone who we should be questioning, or did you send us to someone who is going to question us? This is the first time that we've also been questioned. So this sort of steadfastness a person gets at the time of death in the grave when he remains steadfast throughout his whole life. And thereafter on the day of Qiyamah, the third occasion when the angels of these angels will descend and they will console a person will be on the plains of resurrection. When we will stand from our place, then again this will be a moment of great horror and fear. The sun will be just a mile above a person's head. People will be sweating according to sins they committed. So at that time, when there will be much fear, much anxiety, that how is Allah Ta'ala going to reckon us? Are we going into Jannah or Jahannam? These angels will come down and they will console this person at that time also. So three times angels descend. One is at the time of death, number two in the grave, and number three on the day of Qiyamah when we are resurrected from our places. But Imam Abu Hayyan rahmatullahi alayhi in Tafsir Bahre Muhit, we find a fourth opinion. He says that these angels, they descend at all times for those people who obey Allah Ta'ala, not only on these three occasions. The difference is that on these three occasions, you will be able to see the angels and you will be able to hear the angels say this. Allah تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ. We'll hear this at the time of death in the grave on the day of Qiyamah. But throughout our lives, we find that the angels, they also come down for the believers and those who obey Allah Ta'ala. They are with the believers and the obedient servants of Allah. But we can't see them and we can't hear them. But we can feel the effects and the barakat and the blessings of their presence. And how do we feel the effects? Two ways. Number one is that we are given the ability to do good deeds. So if you are given the ability to do good deeds, you feel inclined towards doing good, then you should know that this is because the angels are with you. Otherwise, if shaitan was with you, you would not feel inclined towards doing good. You would do something wrong. So whenever you do something good, this means the angels are with you. In such a gathering like this, what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention? That when the Quran is being taught and the Quran is being studied, when the word of Allah is being mentioned, at that time the gathering is surrounded by angels. So the entire gathering is surrounded by angels. Now we cannot see the angels, but it is our belief, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that this entire gathering right now is surrounded by angels. And it's because of the blessings of the surrounding of these angels and their company that we are able to have good thoughts, we are able to sit, we are able to listen, we are able to talk about the deen, and our mind does not go towards doing anything wrong. So the angels, according to Imam Abu Hayyan, they come down at all times. And one way we see the effect is we feel inclined towards doing good. And the second effect is that the ability to persevere at difficult times. So during our lifetime, whenever something difficult happens, something challenging, there's a test, there's a trial in our life, Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to remain firm and steadfast and persevere and endure patience. It's why we see many people that something very difficult, a very great test in their life, their father passes away or the young child passes away, but it's very difficult. At that time, a normal human being would completely break. He would not be able to take it. But we see this person is remaining patient. How is he remaining patient? It's because the angels are with him. And these angels are giving him that strength to remain patient and persevere at that moment. Just as on the occasion of the Battle of Badr, when there were only 313 Muslims and 1,000 on the other side. So it was impossible, according to our brain, that 313 men take on 1,000. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the angels. And what did Allah ta'ala say? Anni ma'akum, I am with you. Meaning my assistance is with you. فَثَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So make sure you make the believers and the mu'mineen remain firm and steadfast. So this is what the angels do when they are with us. One is they make us feel inclined towards doing good. And number two, we remain steadfast and endure patience and persevere whenever we go through challenging times. Nuzulam min ghafoorir rahim. Finally, the last part is that this is the hospitality from... Sorry, just before that. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. In Jannah, you shall have whatever your heart desires, and you shall have whatever you ask for. So in Jannah, two types of blessings. One is that whatever you will desire, you will get. Anything you want, anything you wish for, Allah Ta'ala will give it to you. And whatever you ask for, you will also get. So obviously, when you get what you ask for, you will also get. When you get whatever you desire, you will also get whatever you ask for. Nuzulam min ghafoorir rahim. This is the hospitality from the most forgiving, the most merciful. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions two narrations. One is that a person will be in Jannah, a bird will be flying in front of him, and he will desire that if only I could eat this bird. So as soon as he will desire, this bird will come down and it will be cooked, it will be grilled in front of his eyes, and he will be able to eat it. So just as soon as he desires, the whole process will take place. And Mufti Shafi Sahib mentions that another individual, his desire will be to have a child in Jannah. So as soon as he desires this, a woman will conceive the child will be born, the child will go through the whole breastfeeding period, and the child will grow up in front of him. All the stages, which are usually very difficult in the world, will take place instantly, and this child will grow up in front of him. So anything a person will desire, instantly it will happen. So Nuzulam min Ghafoorir Rahim. Finally, Allah Ta'ala says that this will be hospitality from the one who is all forgiving and the very merciful. Over here, there is one question. And the question is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions with regards to the blessings of Jannah, that ma la aynun ra'at, the blessings of Jannah are those blessings no eye has ever seen, wa la udhunun sami'at, the ear has never heard of, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar, and the thought of which has not crossed any mind. Now, when the blessings are such that we cannot even imagine such blessings, we've never seen them, we've never heard regarding them, and we've never imagined such blessings, how will we be able to desire for such things? And how will we be able to ask for such things? In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala first mentions that the blessings of Jannah are those that you will desire and those you will ask for. So we can only desire and ask for those things which come in our mind. But there will be many things that we have never seen, we have never heard of, we've never, the thought has not crossed our mind. How will we desire those things? How will we ask for those things? So there's an indication here, Nuzulam min Ghafoorir Rahim, that the hospitality in Jannah is from that being, that Allah, who is the most merciful, meaning that when you go as a guest, then on the table spread, there are certain items which are normal and which you expected. For example, there could be rice, bread, chapati, drinks, water. These are things which you expect in any invitation. But when you are invited by some host who is more lavish, then he will put such things on the table spread which you did not even expect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is, for example, you go to the palace, you go to a king, and you go, and when you come back, then you tell people at home that over there they also had this, and they also gave this. We never expected that they would serve this. So over there the host is Allah Ta'ala, who is Ghafoorur Rahim. So you won't only have those things which you desire and which you ask for, there'll be those things which will be beyond your expectation also. So Nuzulam min Ghafoorir Rahim. Now, there are a few points remaining, but our time is up. I will very quickly just go through it. That Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, mentions under the commentary of this verse, that he said that I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that say to me or give me advice regarding Islam, something that after you I don't have to ask anybody else. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ, that say I believe in Allah and thereafter remain steadfast. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَدْ شِبْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your hair has become white. So in the latter portion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, he had approximately 14, 15 or 16 strands of white hair. The remaining was still black, despite having great responsibilities upon his shoulders. Mutawasil al-ahzan. He always had concerns. Da'im al-fikra. He was always worried and concerned regarding the ummah. But despite of this, he only had 14, 15 or 16 strands of white hair. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw this, he became concerned that now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is becoming old. He's going to leave us. He said, you have become old. You have white hair. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Shayyabatni Hud. Surah Hud has made me old. Some mufassirin say that one opinion of this is that there is a verse in Surah Hud, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Remain steadfast just as you have been commanded. So it's this verse which made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam old. Because it's such a difficult command that after you have brought iman, you remain steadfast upon iman and you obey Allah Ta'ala until you breathe your last. But because it's so difficult, this is why the reward which has been mentioned in this verse is also so great. And finally, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that when this verse was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that hum ummati wa rabbil Ka'ba, that by the qasam of the Rabb of the Ka'ba, the people that have been spoken about in this verse, they are my ummah. That they have said Allah is our Rabb and thereafter they remain steadfast. So there's a glad tidings in here for us that we are this ummah. Imam Ibn Furak rahmatullahi alayhi says that as-seenu seenu talab, the scene in istiqamu is the scene of talab. What this means is that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, we have brought iman, now oh Allah, you keep us steadfast upon the deen. This is why Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would recite this verse of the Quran, after reciting this verse of the Quran, he would make this dua, Allahumma anta rabbuna, oh Allah, you are our Rabb, farzuqna al-istiqamah, so grant us istiqamah and steadfastness. So we also end our lesson today with this dua of Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, oh Allah, Allahumma anta rabbuna, oh Allah, you are our Rabb, farzuqna al-istiqamah, oh Allah, grant us istiqamah. If Allah ta'ala grants us istiqamah, then at the time of death, as Allah has mentioned in this Quran, likewise in our grave, and likewise on the day of Qiyamah, the angels will descend from the heavens, they will say to us, do not fear, do not grieve, and take glad tidings of Jannah, which is going to be your abode. We will be your friends in, we were your friends in the worldly life, and we will also be your friends and your companions in the hereafter. And for you are all those things which you desire, and for you are all those things which you ask for. And in Jannah, the hospitality will be from Allah Ta'ala, where we will be the guests, and Allah Ta'ala will be our host. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala, He makes us from such individuals. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accept our gatherings, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala keep us steadfast in everything that we do, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala take us away from this world with iman. And just as we have all gathered here, may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also gather us all in Jannah and in Paradise. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.